Chapter 2. All right, show me the starry plough now, Jack. They were sprawled on her bed in the dark, their heads aimed toward the window, the night brilliant and thick with stars. Her arm was draped around him, his hard little head rammed into her armpit, and he was drumming his heels on the bed and making flatulence noises with his mouth. He was never really still. He was just 6 years old, and she supposed he was still discovering all of the things he could do with his limbs. Dance, leap, create, destroy, annoy. And he was never really quiet except when he was asleep. And then he slept with a loose-limbed, flush-cheeked abandon that humbled and astounded her. Ever since he was born, life had been exquisitely beautiful and terrifying all at once, and probably would be forever. He was the gift that had cost her nearly everything else.
"It's right there, Mama,"
he pointed up through the dormer window. "Oh, very good, but shh, what did I tell you about those noises? Perhaps we can sing a song instead if you must make noise, quietly."
"The song about Colin Eversey?
Where on earth did you—"
"Definitely not that song."
"From Liam," he benignly answered her unfinished question. Of course, young Liam Plum worked at the pub and helped out at the vicarage. He was allowed to ring the church bell, which filled Jack with awe and envy, and he cheerfully helped out with odd jobs about the village. He was quick and clever, and he wasn't much older than Jack. He'd been rescued from life in the London slums by Captain Chase Eversey and his wife Rosalind, and his education at the hands of the streets was, diplomatically put, diverse. Jack took lessons with Liam, held by the vicar at the vicarage, and he was allowed to help with chores there too.
"He's famous, Colin is," Jack told her with a superior, confiding air. "I saw him once riding a horse, big cove."
Cove sounded like another word he'd learned from Liam. She would have a discreet word with the vicar, who had such exquisite manners and a refined vocabulary. Colin Eversey was indeed famous for being the most dashing man to ever escape the gallows, in an explosion and in front of an audience of thousands, no less. A flash ballad had been written about him, and it had proven so popular that it was still sung in pubs and on street corners by cheery drunks and by university students, and anyone who felt like singing while they worked, it seemed. New verses were added all the time, most of them quite prurient. "You're quite correct. I remember when we saw Colin Eversey on the horse. The Eversey family is everywhere here in Sussex, rather like the Redmonds. They are very important people in this town, and every time you see them, you will treat them with great politeness and respect. If you see him again, bow and call him Mr. Eversey, not Colin, and you certainly won't refer to him as a cove, or sing that song to him."
"Mr. Eversey," Jack tried dutifully.
"Well done, just like a gentleman." She could feel him beaming. He squirmed a little, pleased to be praised.
"And now that we're speaking of large and important people, I've something exciting to tell you, Jack. We're going to move from here into a large, beautiful house that's rather close by, and I'm going to look after it for a large man."
Jack took this in silently.
"We're going to leave Miss Endicott's and this room forever."
If he'd sounded more plaintive than curious, her voice might have cracked when she spoke next.
"Yes, it's time to go."
She said this with a lilt, to make it sound like a game. He stopped drumming his heels.
"Why, Mama?"
"Because the gentleman knows we'll do the best job caring for the house and for him, and I shall make a handsome salary. And we'll have rooms just as lovely as this one, and you'll even have one of your own. It will be better and so much fun." Jack took this in thoughtfully.
"It was better when Charybdis lived here, anyway."
They'd shared this small room at the very top of the house. The teacher who had last occupied it married a marquis of all things, and had taken her soft and temperamental cat, Charybdis, with her.
"Will we be able to see the stars?"
"Most definitely. We can watch the stars through our windows there, and maybe in the spring go outside at night to watch them too." If she lasted in the position that long. By God, she would last that long.
"He's large. Is he a